On today's podcast, we recap the ski trip that I took this past week and all the crazy details that go along into planning that. We go over some of the off-season news relating to my LA Chargers and World Series champion Atlanta Braves. In segment two, we dive into March Madness and discuss different plans and ways to attack your brackets. I personally give you my final four and key games and upsets along the way. In segment three, we have a random question, a few recommendations, and Tyler's famous quote of the week. You don't want to miss this one. Welcome back to episode number six of the Life After College podcast. I am your host, Austin Zerschmid, joined by my co-host, Tyler Brockman. Tyler, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
All right, Tyler, we got a couple things that we can talk about today and for people this week. But I know I just want to go ahead and get started with this about my ski trip and stuff. I know the past couple podcasts I've been talking about this trip. Been real excited about it, and now I finally got to go on it last week and over the weekend, and so kind of given the whole spiel of everything. So our trip was planned a couple months in advance. We probably started planning it back in November. We had originally six people hopped in, said yes, sign me up, count me in, give me everything I need to know. You know, yada, yada, yada. We booked this kind of cabin that's within walking distance to, like, the actual slopes. And had the six people pay their deposits, whatever, get their lift tickets, or they should have gotten their lift tickets in advance. And then, you know, request off work and stuff as you do when you're planning a vacation or a trip or anything.
Right.
So flash forward to, you know, we're 2 weeks out from the trip, all this waiting, all this built up anticipation for this trip. And then all of a sudden people just start dropping like flies. We got someone saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get off work. I don't know. Have you all bought your lift tickets yet? I haven't bought mine yet. And we're like, well, me and these other two guys that actually ended up going, like, we bought ours, you know, 3 months ago. What are you doing waiting around to, you know, buy this or whatever? But ended up going. We had three people. The main person that actually organized the trip backed out. He moved from Oklahoma to Florida and couldn't get off from his new job in Florida to go on the trip. So, and then someone else just didn't text one time in the group message since being incorporated in it. So we had our three. It was with one person who I've never met before because it was one of the main guy's friends that backed out. And he was riding up from Nashville. He picked me up and we were driving from Louisville to a snowshoe resort in West Virginia. And on our way there, we're kind of communicating with our guy who moved to Florida, who didn't end up coming because all of the room and, you know, stuff is in his name. So he's the one that would have gotten the emails. He's the one that would have gotten the door code and stuff about checking in and stuff. So we're contacting him about, like, hey, did you get a code where about 3.5 hours into our drive, about 3 hours left crossing into West Virginia. And, you know, we don't have a code to get into the door yet. Have you, like, got anything? And, you know, we're flipping through our emails to see if, you know, there's anything that's on our kind of Airbnb itinerary that we can go off of based on anything that, you know, we could have seen. And we're starting to look at the dates and stuff. Like, does this say, you know, March 10th to 13th? And I'm looking at him like, yeah. And I'm like, well, what's today? And it's March 9th. So our room wasn't even booked until Thursday, and we're crossing West Virginia, getting close to the resort or a couple hours away from the resort on a Wednesday. And then obviously our ski and lift tickets are from Thursday to Saturday. So we thought we would get there, you know, Wednesday night at the resort, be able to wake up, ski all day, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then leave on Sunday. But, you know, we ended up calling our guy. You know, did you get anything about door codes and stuff? I know you requested early check-in, yada, yada, yada. He said he hasn't gotten any emails about, you know, doing any pre-check-in confirmation or anything. So he's going to call the place or the booking agency that did the whole trip. And, you know, he gets back to us a couple minutes later and was like, yeah, I called him, spoke to him. I filled everything out just now. They ended up sending the forms and stuff to the wrong phone number. So, you know, and if we didn't like call them to, you know, get this thing taken care of, they would have not done the check-in or whatever. And who knows what would have happened. But we finally ended up getting that settled. So we had our stuff booked for Thursday and then leaving Sunday. But we still needed a place for Wednesday. So I'm scrambling Airbnbs, trying to find something. If there's another cabin in the mountains, somewhere near the resort that we can stay on, another part at the resort that we can stay in, and end up finding some place for like $200 for, you know, that night. And, you know, you send the link, or you send with Airbnb, you request to get, you know, your booking. And then the host has to approve you and whatever. So I go, I pay for it, send the request. And we're just kind of waiting, driving into West Virginia. And, you know, if you've ever been through that part of the country, service can get really spotty.
Yeah, it's so, not good service.
So it's not like I could keep on, you know, researching other places to get a booking, whatever, because I wasn't really getting any service anymore. So we finally, you know, it's maybe, you know, 30 minutes to an hour later after I request it, that it finally goes through, and we're like an hour and a half away. So got our spot taken care of. We paid $200 for a place that we stayed in for like 10 hours max, and, you know, ended up getting there late, Wednesday night, sleeping in and waking up. I had to pick up my rental for my skis and stuff at 8 a.m. so I could have it, you know, all through the weekend. And our buddy sent us the information for the new place that we were going to stay at on Thursday. And, you know, after logging in and looking at that stuff, the code to get into the room was unlocked at 9 a.m. So we kind of figured, you know, we go pick up my rental, drive over. It'll be close to 9 o'clock. We can type in the code, get in, and that'll be that. We can drop our stuff off, and then we can walk over to the mountain and get started with our day. But the early code access does not necessarily mean that's when you check in. So we're kind of like talking to the lady that, you know, is responsible for the stuff. They're like, hey, we got the code to the door, but it doesn't seem to be working. It said it, you know, came through at 9. It's, you know, like 9:10 now. We're not really having any luck with it. And I know that we requested, you know, early check-in and whatever. Is there anything that we can do to get into the room now? And she was like, oh, well, you know, standard procedure early check-in is at 2 instead of 4. You know, we've had guests stay last night that just checked out this morning, so we haven't even had housekeepers to go over there yet. We just send the code out there early, in case, you know, service is spotty. You need the code at, you know, a certain point, and then you have it in case you run out of service for when you actually come into the room. So I was like, fuck. Okay, whatever. So we can't get into the room until 2. We end up finding like a locker room on the mountain, changing into our stuff, driving back to where our room would be, and carrying our equipment over to the mountain, and then just end up being on the mountain practically from like 9:30 to 2 o'clock when we actually get into the room. So overall, that first day, you know, skiing the mountain, it's fun. I was probably the most, it's kind of weird because I first learned to ski, you know, 3 years ago on that mountain. And I've, you know, only skied a handful of times, but kind of know what I'm doing. The person that ended up I was riding with, he had only snowboard and took a lesson once, and he was still very low level on, you know, kind of that front. So I waited up with him for a little bit, but I was like, all right, I'm gonna take off. We'll say we meet up at the resort and get lunch or something at, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. So I end up going through all the trails and stuff that I feel comfortable going on, and, you know, had a blast. It's fun. Kind of comparing the greens and the blues to Perfect North, because that's really the only other place I've skied at, because it's the only place around here. And there really is no comparison. I mean, the greens at a real ski resort are way harder than the greens at Perfect North. The trails are longer. There's, you know, actually, you know, real snow and stuff, and you're actually gaining a lot of speed. So you have to have decent control and kind of know what you're doing. But it was overall pretty fun. It was a pretty warm day on Thursday. Thursday and Friday were pretty warm by, you know, skiing measurements. It was probably 40, 45 and sunny. But overall, it was great, you know, skiing and good weather and stuff. The actual crazy day was on Saturday. We actually ended up kind of like jumping around here. Our third guy that came on a Thursday afternoon. So he joined and was there for us on Friday and Saturday. But, you know, Thursday and Friday, pretty warm days, sunny days, fun to go up and down and, you know, go to the different restaurants and see the different sites and hit the trails and stuff. But Saturday was like skiing in a snow globe. It was, you know, I know people in the area saw, you know, had snow on the ground here or, you know, whatever on Friday night. And that kind of blowed over into West Virginia, and it hovered and stayed to where it was like 24 hours of, you know, 20 mile an hour winds at, I think it was like negative 11 wind chill and just snowing constantly. I think they got like 9 inches of snow between, you know, late Friday night to all day Saturday. And so that made like skiing crazy on Saturday with the wind. My mask ended up freezing. But I mean, you have all the stuff on, so you aren't really cold. You don't really feel the wind for the most part. You just kind of like maybe will reach up to adjust something on like your neck or on your back or something. And you'll feel that like your whole neck cloth or whatever is frozen and like bends whenever you touch it just because of like how frozen it is. So that's kind of like a surreal feeling to be out in the cold and, you know, kind of going through all that but not really feeling cold. But Saturday was the craziest day of, you know, skiing. A lot of fresh snow. Everything is covered. There's no really like grass. Everything is, you know, covered in snow. All the trees are covered. Looking at the top of the mountain, looking across and seeing all the other mountains and trees and ranges all covered in snow. It made for a cool sight. And I took a couple pictures here and there and, you know, posted some stuff on my Instagram. Go check it out. Zersh24. If you haven't seen it, you should. They're pretty cool pics. But overall, you know, it was a great trip. Glad I got to go. You know, it's something that I encourage a lot of people to go do. You know, again, we're going to be looking for more people to go next time. Maybe it's to the same place, maybe to a different spot. You know, who knows? But if there's people that can go out and practice whatever between now and next year, I mean, hit me up because I'd love to plan another trip with some more people, more friends. And let's have a good time. This trip was awesome. Loved it. Want to do it again. I already missed the mountains. But yeah, that's kind of my trip recap. It kind of got off to a rocky start, not having a place to stay at the night of, and kind of going through the check-in hassle the next day. But once we were actually getting together, it was fun and, you know, excited and loved the whole thing. But that was kind of... sounds
cool. So, do me a favor, though. Break down, like, what is a day on the slopes? You know, do you sleep in? Is it something where you want to get a early start to the morning? How's that work?
Yeah, so what kind of we did, they have a thing called rope drop, which is basically kind of like the start of the day. And that's at 9 a.m. I'm kind of used to getting up at 7 for work every day. So I was, you know, getting up at, you know, maybe 8 comfortably and getting ready to head out there. So we probably got out there around, you know, 9 to 9:15 all the days. And, you know, we would hit the slopes for a little bit. You know, I got my headphones in and I'm either listening to music, listening to podcasts going down the mountain. And you know, you can kind of go at your own pace. You don't really have to be in your group of friends, especially if you're on kind of like different levels between the groups. So it's something that you can do alone. Like I said, with, you know, throw a podcast on, play some music, whatever. But yeah, we ended up getting there around 9 most days and then kind of getting breakfast after like an hour or two of going through it. And then we would kind of take a break midday for lunch, either stay at the resort with all of our ski stuff and get lunch, or head back to the room, change, and grab something. But that's usually, we would ski for, I don't know, maybe like four or five hours of the day. They ended up closing the trails at like 4:30 or shutting down the lifts at 4:30. And then they ended up having night skiing at a different mountain from, you know, whenever until about 9 o'clock. So we did that once and it was fun. But that's kind of the day. You go through the trails that you want to go down. There's different spots on the mountain. Like at the very bottom, there's this thing called the Boathouse. It was like a small little grab-and-go restaurant that had, you know, food, alcohol, drinks, you know, coffee, whatever, at the bottom of the mountain. And you could take a break there. There was like a lake there that you could sit out and look at. I got a couple pictures of that. And, of course, at the top of the mountain where everything is, it's called the Village. That's where all of like your mountain shops are for, like, you know, your mask and your big jackets, goggles, whatever, and all the other restaurants and bars and, you know, other shops like that are in the Village. So you can eat, you know, kind of whenever you wanted. get whatever drinks that you wanted. But our day kind of consisted of, you know, between like 9 to 10:30, 11. And I'd say probably about 9 to 10:30, you would kind of ski, do whatever, snowboard, maybe grab a breakfast sandwich and a coffee around 10:30, head back out there from, you know, maybe 11 to 1:30, 2-ish, and then walk back or get something to eat for lunch, and then walk back, and then just kind of rest up, you know, shoot the shit a little bit, take a nap, whatever, and then go out and eat dinner, and then, you know, head back and be ready to do it all again the next day.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's fun. I encourage, like I said, everybody to try it at least once and, you know, let me know if you like it. That was kind of my week, you know, from Wednesday to Sunday. Ended up taking today off as well, just kind of like as a recovery day. I will say, like, the thing with, you know, skiing as a vacation, it's not really a relaxing vacation, I would say. I mean, it's kind of like physically demanding. You're going to be tired at the end of the day. You're going to be, muscles are a little sore, especially if you're not like in crazy, you know, shape or whatever. So kind of like having like a Monday chill day to just sit around and do nothing, kind of reset the system, was good to have. But that was kind of my week. Did you do anything crazy this past week?
I don't think I did anything crazy this weekend. Probably spent a lot of time watching Netflix. But, you know, definitely not like a ski trip, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Your trip will come soon.
Yeah, next week got spring break. Don't have any big plans, but, you know, maybe I'll come up with something more exciting to do next week.
Little staycation. Y'all should do something like every day. Well, I guess Emily isn't on spring break.
Yeah, she's still going to be working. She's taking off a day or two. But, yeah, not really a spring break for her.
Yeah. You could go to, like, I don't know, Malibu Jacks or something, and then do go-karts or putt-putt or, you know, something crazy.
Yeah.
Go see Batman.
I need to see Batman. Go over to Baxter Theaters.
I thought about going over there today to see, like, a showing at 12 or, like, 1 o'clock. Ended up deciding to clean and do dishes and laundry from this past weekend, so did that instead. Not as fun, but still had to do it. And kind of switching gears here, I got a couple talking points I want to talk about. Some of my favorite teams. We got free agency going on for both NFL and MLB. These, you know, regularly overlap, but because of the lockout for baseball, things are getting pushed back. They finally came to terms this past week, and now it's just been full steam ahead with, you know, trades, signings, people not being signed. So kind of starting with some good news. If you don't know, I'm a fan of the Chargers in the NFL. We'll kind of talk about that stuff first. You know, this past season was very up and down. We had good offense, great stretches at times, played, you know, good most of the season. Ended up missing the playoffs. I do believe that we were a playoff team. I think we would have been scary in the playoffs, but ended up not making it. And one of the reasons that we've, you know, may have lost so many games was because our defense has been very subpar, to say the least. We have Joey Bosa rushing the quarterback. We have Derwin James back in coverage, occasionally coming up and making tackles and whatever. But outside of, like, those two guys, it was, you know, very not good. So these past, you know, couple days, we've seen some big signings. We got a trade with Khalil Mack coming over. So now we got Mack and Bosa on both sides. That's going to help out not only Bosa and Mack, but the whole team as well, because now teams cannot just double team Bosa and be fine. Now they have to worry about Mack on the other side. So, and then also vice versa, teams can't double team Mack because they have Joey Bosa on the other side. So they're going to help each other with that stuff. They're going to be able to have a lot more one-on-ones. And if both of those guys have one-on-ones, they're going to win a lot of those matchups, which will, you know, make the defense better in general. And then outside of that, they had another good free agency signing with J.C. Jackson coming over from the Patriots, signing with us. He was one of the top cornerbacks in the league last year. He finished the season with 8 interceptions. Our team as a whole only had 11. So that's going to create more opportunities for Herbert and the offense to score more. And they already had a pretty good offense. So just being able to have more opportunities is going to help out the team, you know, tremendously. So very good job on, you know, the signing of him, being traded or getting the trade for Khalil Mack. Re-signing Mike Williams was also big. And by the looks of it, it may even look like a discount compared to the other wide receiver signings that are happening now. So overall, offseason's been a pretty big success for the Chargers. We still got the draft coming up next month. So we'll hit a couple more points there. But I'm already excited for next season, next football season. I think Chargers are going to be good. I think they're going to be scary. I know that the Broncos made a trade for Russell Wilson. I'm not too big on that trade, honestly. I don't think Russell Wilson moves the needle that much for the Broncos. He had a pretty much a down year last year, and I think he's on the backside of his career, and they end up trading away some good players along with a lot of draft capital to get him. So I'm not sure that's going to pan out for them. Honestly, I think they made that trade to go from fourth in the division to third. But, you know, we'll see. We have, you know, this podcast to look back on and see how wrong or right I am in the future. So we'll see what happens there. Did you have any NFL news that you wanted to talk about?
Well, the big one that I'm keeping my eye on as a Louisville fan is Lamar Jackson's contract. I think there's a lot of eyes around the league watching that one, you know, with his situation of not using an agent, you know, dealing directly with the team. I think it's kind of interesting to watch. I mean, definitely as a fan of him, I want to see it work out as good as possible for him. But with the way the caps just get increased year after year after year, and quarterbacks being so valuable, I mean, it's hard to really know what a quarterback's value is unless if they really hit the free agency and get bids by all sorts of different teams. I mean, I think he likes being in Baltimore. I think he likes the coach and the organization around him. But, I mean, you never know if they can't get a long-term deal done and they just have to pick up his fifth year and then go the Kirk Cousins route of franchise tag and franchise tag. And, you know, I mean, people say, well, you know, he's got to be healthy through all that. But then you look at Dak Prescott and he got hurt bad and then still signed a big deal. So I don't know how important that is either, but it's just the one that I'm going to keep my eye on the closest. As a Jets fan, there's nothing too exciting to announce. Kind of just got to wait for the draft to see how they do there. Just keep building. I mean, it's not – next year is not going to be the year, and the year after that probably isn't going to be the year. But
really?
I do think – yeah. But I do think that, you know, they can be competitive, like in a, you know, Miami Dolphins level within the next couple of years. you know, they can be in the hunt, I think, for the playoffs. And depending on, you know, maybe injuries to some other teams, or, I mean, you need a little bit of luck, but, you know, I could see them being in the playoffs in the next 2 to 3 years. Definitely as a wild card. Don't see them taking over the division. But, I mean, I'm not too impressed with, like, Miami or the Patriots. Or, I mean, I guess the Bills are looking pretty solid. But, you know, you just never know what can happen. So I think that they're trending in the right direction. It's just real slow.
Mm-hmm. I need to bring back Rob Ryan or Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I think he's enjoying getting paid to just say the same crazy stuff and not have to worry about getting fired.
Yeah, that's true. And kind of switching gears from some good news to some mediocre news to some sad news. My Atlanta Braves coming off a World Series win, you know, bunch of crazy storylines. They were, you know, hovering around 500 around the All-Star break. Acuña goes down with an injury, out for the year. It is not looking good. GM puts everything into this last season to go all in. Ends up trading and getting Rosario, getting Jorge Soler, getting Jock Peterson, getting Adam Duvall, all these guys to come in. We end up going all the way, winning the World Series, first title in, you know, 20-something years. Crazy experience, crazy time. We have our star franchise player that is supposed to be, you know, a Brave for life, goes out, wins the MVP in 2020, then wins and brings Atlanta a title in 2021. His final at bat ended up being, you know, a home run in, you know, game whatever of the World Series. And I think as of today, that appears to be the final time that Freddie Freeman wears the Atlanta Braves uniform. As of today, actually, the Braves made a trade for Oakland Athletics star first baseman Matt Olson, which kind of laid the groundwork that Freddie Freeman is not going to come back. The two sides could not come to terms of a deal. And as a fan of the team, as a fan of Freddie, he's been there since kind of the beginning when they were a good team, blew it all to pieces, started a rebuild, and worked from the ground up to finally winning the championship. And he was one of the players that has been there through all of it, that you wanted to see spend his whole career with Atlanta. It's a shame that, you know, this is the business side of things, and they couldn't come to terms on either money or the amount of the deal, whatever. But, you know, you would think with actually winning the World Series, you'd be able to be happy and, you know, give your franchise guy whatever they want to make them happy. But that appears to not be the case. They're letting him walk. He could go to a number of different spots. It's going to be sad to see him come back to Atlanta in an opposing team's uniform. But we got star Matt Olson from the Athletics. He's an all-star from the AL. Great defensive first baseman, similar to Freddie Freeman. Had a very good season last season. Is probably the best replacement that you could get for Freddie Freeman, because their play styles are very similar. Very defensive first basemen that can, you know, have great batting on the offensive side. He's a little bit younger than Freddie. You know, good for the fans to jump into to that aspect with him being from Atlanta and having a couple years left on his contract. He might end up re-signing with Atlanta for long term. But, you know, we'll see. In that trade, we gave up a couple prospects, including Christian Pache, and then our, I guess, almost prospect in waiting for a catcher. So I feel like we gave up a lot for him, but it sucks that, you know, Freeman is not going to be back. And that's going to kind of leave a bitter taste when, you know, you do the ring ceremonies whenever baseball does end up starting back up. So sad. But I think this move might end up being better long term, and for them to have more success and win more rings, that just may have been what they needed to do to in order to do that. But it still stinks to think about the lifelong, or what should have been lifelong, Brave is not going to be that anymore. I don't know how close you follow baseball, but that's kind of where I'm at with it right now.
Yeah, I don't really follow baseball too closely. So maybe there's just things about it I don't understand, but you know, the sport without the salary cap, really, I don't understand, like, after you win a World Series like that, you know, what's the penalty? It's not like there's a cap. You just got to pay the extra to keep some of the guys. And it's like, you got to think, I don't know, that you're going to sell more tickets if you keep the same group around. I don't know. You know, I'm sure it's all like millionaire and billionaire type thinking. You know, they got to save the money where they got to and things like that. But just seems like it'd be easier to do in baseball. Sign everybody.
But yeah, and with Atlanta, Atlanta's not like a huge market money-wise, with there being kind of no salary cap. The teams that always spend the most and get the best players are going to be New York and LA. And we're kind of seeing that right now with the Yankees making big splashes and the Dodgers always having the best players. And one of those teams are probably going to be suitors for Freddie Freeman. So it's the teams with the most money get the best players year in and year out, and they spend so much that all the small teams that have had these lifelong players, once they have these big contracts, they can't afford it, and then the big cities come in and clean up. So they always stay competitive and stay on top while, you know, the other guys have to let them go and start from scratch again. But yeah, that kind of sucks. Wish there was some kind of salary cap in baseball. I think hockey might be like the only sport that does it right. I think they have like a hard salary cap, which is kind of like, for example, if you have $100 million for 10 players, that's all you get. You don't have any luxury tax. You don't have a penalty to pay when you go over. It's this is what you have, fit the players with this amount of money, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's how it should be for every league. But unfortunately, it's not. So we live and we move on. Jumping into segment number two, we got one topic for you guys today, and it's kind of with the times of, you know, what's going on right now. It's bracket season. We got people making brackets left and right. I'm sure there's going to be some type of deal where if you have a perfect bracket, you get $1 trillion from somebody. Of course, that hasn't happened before, but who knows? You may be the first one. So with that being said, it's bracket season. You know, you're making stuff with your friends. You're making stuff at work, everywhere. T-Brock, I'm going to need you to take it away and tell everybody what there is to know about brackets.
Yeah, I mean, around these parts, March Madness, it's a holiday the whole rest of the month into April. I mean, that Thursday and Friday that's coming up where it's just full day, four channels, you're flipping back and forth starting at noon, watching all the games. I mean, that first weekend, I don't think there's anything like it, especially Thursday and Friday. Even though, I mean, you'll have your 1-16 matchup that, other than Virginia, you know, they always win. But it seems like every year there's a 2 seed that gets upset. There's always at least a 2 seed that's struggling. You know, always good upsets, fun to root for the underdogs, fun to, you know, see which teams are going to just be a hard matchup. Like you were saying, I'm sure a lot of people have, you know, at their work or school, some sort of a bracket challenge. I've got one going on at school starting up. We do one for the men's bracket, one for the women's bracket, that our class, you know, kind of funds some prizes for that. It's free entry, just trying to get people involved. And then we'll do another $5 winner take all bracket, that people can, you know, jump in as much as possible. What's your thoughts on that? Do you like people who fill out multiple brackets, or are you one of those people that, you know, just really take your time and fill out the one? How do you do it?
Yeah, so usually I might make, you know, 2 or 3 brackets, but they're all pretty similar. I'm not, you know, making, you know, crazy changes with each bracket. I might go have a bracket be entirely similar to the last one, except for maybe 1 or 2 games that I'm kind of up in the air on. But yeah, predominantly, it's you know, around the same within those kind of games. If I'm, you know, torn between two, I'll flip between brackets which way I go for which game. But I think this year I'm going to go just heavy in on one bracket, put it all in for whatever, and put it in for all the different, you know, leagues and accounts that you could be in. Work leagues, friend leagues, all are just going to have the same bracket. So you're rooting, so you have one, you know, invested interest. You're not rooting for this, but if this doesn't work, then you have this, blah, blah, blah. That's just kind of like a cop out for, you know, having more than one outcome. And nobody likes those kind of people anyway. So I'm just going to make the one and stick with it. Have all my options. What's your procedure on how often you do brackets? How many do you do?
Yeah, I mean, there was a stretch where I kind of quit doing brackets. I quit having fun with it. So I'd probably just spent too long on one of my brackets 1 year and it got completely busted. So now I do it much more casually. I'm not researching, you know, the, you know, seventh man off the bench from both teams to know like what type of a matchup it's going to be. You know, sometimes you just have to go with your gut and pick one, kind of look at some expert recommendations. I personally like the method of, you know, fill out one for what you think is going to happen and then go ahead and fill out another bracket and have that one just be like what you wish would happen. That way you can always, no matter what game's on, kind of have a rooting interest and know either, okay, this will help my bracket that I'm trying to compete with, or, okay, this is really what I would want to see happen, you know? I think that's a fun way to do it as well. That way, you know, if you're a Jacksonville, you can have them going all the way to the championship and have fun with that. But what's your strategy when you're filling out the bracket? Do you try to limit your upsets, or are you trying to kind of make sure that you pick at least like one, you know, 12 seed over a 5 seed, or do you try to look at those sort of statistics?
Yeah, so outside of mainly the ones and the twos, I'm kind of looking at every game as like a game-to-game basis. I'll open up the notes that ESPN's, you know, tournament bracket challenge will give you on each team. It has like a little paragraph for, and like some spark notes on each team, what they do well, what they struggle with. And then you just kind of compare between that matchup, and it'll show you the team's good wins for the season, their bad losses, how many opponents have they beaten in the top 25, what's their current rank. So just kind of doing that for mainly all the games that are between seeds 3 to, you know, 14. The ones and the twos kind of get the byes in the first round to send them on their way. But other than that, I'm kind of looking and seeing, you know, who would win these matchups based on those notes that are given. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I don't really look at seeds too much between those groups, between the threes and the 14s. It's all kind of matchup based. If a team shoots a lot of threes, but the other team, it has a lot of length, plays really good three-point defense, rebounds very well, and, you know, scores in the paint a lot, I'd probably take the team that has good, you know, three-point defense and, you know, scores in the paint, outside of the team that shoots and makes a lot of threes. I think that's just a matchup thing, and you don't really look at the seeds or the teams. You just kind of look at those notes and kind of go from there. I'm not sure if you've made a bracket yet. I know games start on Thursday this week, but do you have any insight on who you think might be a champion, who could be in the Final Four, any crazy picks that you think could make a run? Have you taken a look at the bracket yet?
Yeah, I've started looking at the bracket. Haven't made any final decisions yet. You know, one thing I like just seeing like some of the different strategies. So one thing I was seeing is that people recommended the strategy where you look at each region and kind of decide out of those 16 teams, who do you think's going to the Final Four, and then working backwards, because sometimes you get, you know, too tunnel vision looking at a matchup and you go through all of those and then you get to the end and you're like, well, there's no way that, you know, UCLA is going to make it out of this region. But because, you know, you got too tunnel visioned and started seeing some of these upsets, and then, you know, the snowball keeps rolling, you end up getting them through when you really get to the end and you're like, I don't think that they're going to make it to the Final Four. And I think that that's kind of plays into some of the point scoring. You know, it's more valuable to pick who's going to be in the Final Four than it is to pick, you know, one team that's going to win in the first round. So I think I might try to go for one of those type of strategies this year with the bracket and just see how it does.
Mm-hmm. I think if I remember back in our college living days, I don't even think that you made brackets back then.
No, I think that was part of my time when I was avoiding the brackets. Still pretty hurt from, I think one time I picked, I think there was a year where I picked Missouri to like make it to the national championship and they lost in the first round or something like that. So you know, I never pick Missouri anymore.
So you were just hurt?
I was hurt. It hurt me bad.
But getting back into the bracket, I know you said that you haven't made one, don't know what's going on, yada, yada, yada. The games do start on Thursday. I went ahead and made my bracket. And I'll kind of go ahead and put my predictions out there. Be a man, let everyone know this is it. Everyone else can lie like a coward and keep their picks to themselves and say, "Oh, I had this pick," when in reality,
they don't. You worry. I'll send you my bracket before the games start on Thursday. We'll let it be said.
Right, I'm gonna put it on my fridge, just so
you can black it out when I miss one.
Right. So I'll go ahead and kind of go through some big games that I've looking through. Some upsets that I got. I'll go ahead and do some first round upsets that I got. So I got 13 Vermont beating number 4 Arkansas. Kind of gave you my reasons before when I was picking them. I got 10 Davidson beating 7 Michigan State. 11 Virginia Tech beating 6 Texas.
Off a strong ACC tournament.
And that's kind of one of the reasons why I picked them. I have 11 Iowa State beating number 6 LSU and making a run to, I believe, the Elite Eight is what I have them. So I have them beating LSU, number 3 Wisconsin, and number 2 Auburn.
Oof.
So that's probably...
You don't need them to get that far.
That's my Cinderella team. I have Iowa beating Kansas and then facing off to play Iowa State in the final or in the Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four. So I think that'll be a cool rivalry, Iowa versus Iowa State to go to the Final Four.
Man, your whole bracket is looking crazy.
Yeah, I don't stick to the favorites. I keep it exciting. I got Loyola Chicago beating Ohio State, 10 versus 7. I have number 4 Illinois beating Arizona and Tennessee to go to the Final Four. So kind of like giving out my Final Four right now. I have Gonzaga, Illinois, Iowa, and Kentucky. I've kind of talked about Kentucky the last couple of weeks. They're pretty good. They've kind of hit a slump these last little bit in the SEC tournament. But I think that may have just been a scheduling thing. They played late at night on, you know, Thursday or Friday and had one of the first games the next day. So not a lot of rest. They didn't shoot around for the Tennessee game. Ended up losing. Had a very poor shooting game overall. Not a lot of threes were made. So I think, you know, with proper rest with these games, good scheduling, I think they can put it all together and make their run. But Final Four is going to be Gonzaga, Kentucky, Illinois, and Iowa. That is a 1 seed, a 2 seed, a 4 seed, and a 5 seed. And then in the championship game, I got Kentucky and Illinois. Battle of the Midwest areas-ish. And then Kentucky comes out on top.
I think you're on crack. But, I mean, we'll see, you know. That's part of the bracket thing. Hey, one of the things I like to do when I'm looking at the upsets, like I know you were mentioning, like Michigan State over Davidson, is, you know, looking at that next game, you know, most likely they're going to end up playing, you know, whoever wins that game is going to end up playing Duke. And if you think Duke is going to win anyway, then that picking that upset really doesn't have too much of a risk. You know, if you think Duke is going to beat either one of those, then, you know, it's not one of those where you have to pick an upset and then you're stuck picking them to continue on. So I think that's another bit of strategy I like doing when I'm filling those out. Do you ever look at that, like that next matchup ahead?
You know, I'd say no. I'd say it's a game-to-game basis.
Game-to-game. Okay.
So I'll look at it, send them on to the next round, and then I'll open up, you know, kind of like the information tab on the teams. And, you know, it'll show your opponent's points per game, your versus top 25, your current ranked, what you did in your conference, your current points per game. Then it does, like, some game predictions with ESPN Plus. And then, you know, their notable results from the season, and then gives you a team summary. And then at the very bottom, there's, you know, a seed fact. And, you know, I just opened up this, you know, Duke versus Davidson, 2 versus 10, round of 32 game. And it says the seed fact, number 2 seeds are 34 and 18 versus number 10 seeds. And I've won 9 straight meetings over the last 6 tournaments. So, you know, with some that being said, sent Duke along, beating Davidson, and then have them play in Alabama. I guess I can also plug in kind of like some other notable games that I have. I have Alabama beating Duke in the Elite Eight game, I believe. I have UCLA 4 seed beating Baylor to play Kentucky. I think that'll be a cool game, UCLA versus Kentucky, to go to the Final Four. Also have Kentucky and Purdue playing, which is, you know, another like close matchup. Obviously, I said Iowa State beats Auburn. I have, you know, Iowa beating Kansas. Goes off the Tennessee beats Villanova, and then Illinois beats Arizona. So those are kind of like the big games, the big C different games that I have for my bracket. By this time on Monday, we'll be able to see, you know, how well I did, and I'll be sure to let everyone know exactly how good I'm doing. But we'll have to wait and see for next Monday when we record again how good this is.
Will do.
And then you'll have to also give an update on your bracket and your picks, because you're being a wimp and not putting your picks out on the line right now.
No one should be locking in their stuff this early. You know, you just, there's so many unknowns at this point. You know, you got to read the stories. You know, if teams are traveling, people are feeling under the weather. You know, you got to get the inside scoop before you start locking in brackets.
Oh, I don't know. Games start on Thursday. The brackets and games are set, and there's no other, you know, switching up. The games are out there. They are ready to be played. It's just who you think's going to win. But, you know, we'll see. This is March.
This is March.
Hopping in to segment number 3, we're going to go over a couple things with you. We got our random questions, we got a couple recommendations, and you know we're going to finish strong with Tyler's quote of the week. But first, we jump into our random question. This one's going to be, you know, probably a little personal based on your preferences, you know, and whatever, what you like, where you want to go, yada, yada, yada. Where is your retirement destination? Where do you want to spend your old and weary years of your life?
All right. So I wasn't thinking about it as my old and weary years of life. I was just, you know, imagining being a hip 60 years old, you know, Hawaiian shirt, you know.
I don't know. But dental can be stressful. It's be hard on your mind.
It's going to be hard on my back. sometimes it's hard to see the teeth. I'm just bent over. I mean, I know I'm supposed to use the mirror and stuff, but it can be hard sometimes. So,
and their breath be stinking.
People's breath do be stinking, but, you know, I'm all about educating patients, helping them out with their oral hygiene, getting that to a good state. So,
shout out to people cleaning their teeth.
Shout out to the people who brush before they go to the dentist. You know, I thought that that was everybody. It's not. So shout out to the people who do. If you're one of those people who doesn't and you're like, oh, sorry, you know, I didn't have time to brush, blah, blah, blah. And the dentist is like, oh, don't worry about it. Do worry about it because they're just being nice to you. It's a problem. Anyway, not to get too off topic. So once I'm finally done with all the dentistry and I want to retire. So I have like my boring answer, my realistically answer, my most likely what's going to end up happening answer is I'm just going to stay here in town, retire in here. That's like I said, that's just my realistic answer. You know, I do like the area. I'm sure I'll have even more connections in the area. You know, families around here. I do like
they'll
it.
Be dead.
I don't have any problem. Not all my family. Like, come on now. I still got sisters and cousins and whatever. But anyway, I did come up with a more fun answer. Not as realistic. I'm talking Monaco, baby. Monte Carlo. I'm over there in Casino Square. I'm just, you know, gambling away all of my life's earnings. But, you know, for any of you who don't know where Monaco is, it's kind of it's a tiny, tiny country, like probably, I don't know, the size
as big
of,
as the sea.
maybe inside the Waterson. It's its own country. Just a ton of millionaires. It's kind of on the coast, kind of there around like France and Italy. I can't speak French, so that may be a problem. Maybe I'll have time to learn. But, you know, just imagine that life on the coast. You go to the casino. You go out on a boat. You get to have some fun. You go out to nice restaurants. You're retired. What's it matter? I mean, that sounds nice. You know, it's not, I don't think I'm like a retire and move out to the country type of guy. So, you know, it'd be a place in the city on the water. That'd be kind of nice. A little different from here. So I knew you wouldn't like my realistic answer of Louisville. But that's why I had to come up with a more fun answer. So what about you? What's your thoughts for when you retire?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I'm going to trash both of your choices.
Oof.
Staying at home, boring, stinks.
I said it was boring. Okay, to be fair, I acknowledge that, and I made amends.
You know what? I'm also disappointed in you for saying, you know what? I'm going to stay here because this place is awesome. You know, there's plenty of other places, stuff to do, people to see, places to see, sites to go out and do whatever. And you know, Louisville can't offer all that. And, you know, you're going to have your dentist money. You got basically a plethora of choices with English-speaking, you know, areas to pick from. You're like, I'm just going to stay right here.
Yeah, trash. But I mean, that's like
also,
what you realistically.
Monaco. Also, Monaco. Garbage answer as well, because that
How
is
that garbage?
Nowhere near like any chance of being realistic.
I said it was a less realistic option. I don't know about unrealistic.
I want like a realistic fun. Like I'm going to have a cabin in the Rockies or live in on a beach in South Carolina, you know, whatever. But you're like, no, I'm going to go to a tiny nation that's made only for billionaires, that speaks a different language.
They also speak English there.
You never been there. You don't know what they speak.
No, I haven't been there. Clearly, I haven't been there. Whatever. What's your answer so I can go ahead and trash that?
So my answer, I've had this in my, you know, thought frame of mind for the last couple years, since even before I even started working full time. It's still a goal of mine to move south before I'm 30. I'd like to be in the state of Florida by that time. I think when you reach a certain point in your life where you're not, you know, talking to your friends, hanging out with your friends on a weekly basis, you know, they have their own families, you have your family, whatever. Maybe it's just you, who knows? But then you kind of look back and realize, you know, I see my family, you know, on holidays every so often. I see my friends like, you know, once every 6 months with us being so busy with work and whatever. There's really nothing tying me to this area. What area do I want to live in? And that's kind of like my reasoning for going south eventually. I'd like to be in Florida, be on the beach, live close to the beach. I think, you know, getting off work at 5 and being on a beach at 6 on a, you know, Wednesday in February is kind of like a crazy thing to think about. But there's people that do it, and I want to be one of those people that do it.
So hold on. Are you retired, or are you getting off work and going to the...
Well, look. So this is my life goal right now, to do that before I'm 30. Retirement destination is going to be Clearwater, Florida, and I'll tell you why. Been there a couple times already. It's a awesome spot in Florida, close to Tampa. Tampa's a big city. You got your sports teams there. You got the Lightning. You got the Bucks. You got the Rays. Big sports town. Big city energy. It's in Florida. You got the hot weather. You got the beaches of being in Clearwater. Been to Clearwater a couple times. It's a nice town. Very clean. Lots to do. The boardwalk is amazing. There's always shows going on. People twirling fire, doing magic tricks, street shows, all that stuff up on the boardwalks. Yeah, they also have the famous aquarium in Clearwater, where rest in peace to Winter the Dolphin, but the dolphin that had no tail was in Clearwater. They ended up making a couple movies. You may have heard about them. Dolphin Tail, I believe, was the name of them. Saw a couple of the actors at kind of like a Q&A when the last time I went down there. Like maybe 8 years ago, I think. So got to see them in person, got to tour, you know, a couple, you know, museums, go to the aquarium, see the dolphin, just kind of like have that emotional tie with the city and kind of, you know, seeing what it looked like to be retired in Clearwater. My stepdad's grandparent lived in like a 15th floor condo that overlooked kind of like the bay right by the beach. And since going there a couple times, it's kind of like been my goal to have a condo high up in the sky, overlooking the beach, overlooking the water, and, you know, being a short drive to wherever you want to go in the city. Or if you want to go to Tampa, you can do that as well. But that's kind of what I'm looking at. That's where I want to go. And I think with me having that in mind, having kind of like this city in mind for what seems like at least the last 5 or so years, I think by the time it gets to be that point, it could be a you know, a good option and an option that might come true as well.
Yeah, I've been to Clearwater a couple times, had some family in that area. So it's a valid spot. I think they have a house on a lake now over in that area. So really, they get to enjoy the water a bunch. I think they like it. They aren't retired, but, you know, they're enjoying it. I don't think it's any better than I don't see how that's any more realistic than me going to Monaco.
It is extremely, it's in the country.
Okay, people move out of the country all the time.
I don't know. I guess that's just where we disagree.
That people move out of the country all the time? People move out of the country all the time. That's a fact.
I'm saying move into Florida when you retire.
I know what you're saying. And you're just already trying to work the Twitter poll, trying to attack my answers so that people are like, oh, yes, I see where Zersh is coming from. That guy's an idiot over there talking about he's going to Monaco. If you're about to vote on this Twitter poll, just go ahead and look him up. It's beautiful, Monaco. Check it out.
You want me to put down Monaco, or you want me to give the real answer that you picked? Because I'll pick, like, something crazy, too, that's not going to happen, just to beat your answer that's not going to happen. Is that the war that you want to start with me right now?
No, you've already started the war. It is what it is. I mean, you can't go back on it now.
All right, I'm picking Clearwater, and then I'll write down your "I want to retire where I've lived my whole life" answer.
Most people do.
Yeah, most people are boring and sad. But whatever. You know what? I'll put it down. You guys decide who has the better answer, who's going to have more fun in their retirement. Someone staying here with the rising crime, violence, all the drugs going on, the city's on fire, and we got somebody that wants to stay. Or you want me, my answer, going somewhere on a beach, relaxing, not having to worry about anything. Any take on that?
I've said what I've said.
Let us know down in the comments.
Let us know. Let us know.
Where you would want to retire. But yeah, we'll leave that there. Let the people decide who had the better answer, where they want to retire. We'll hop into our next segment of this, jumping into our recommendations. I'm going to let you start off your recommendation first. I'm still a little hot right now.
All right. Well, watched a good movie on Netflix. It just popped up maybe a week or so ago on like my Netflix homepage. It's called Margin Call. It's described as like a drama, mystery, thriller. I mean, it's really just a good drama. Rotten Tomatoes has it at an 87% certified fresh. The audience score is a little lower. I don't know. Thought it was really good. It's got to do with like the financial crisis of 2008 and came out in 2011. Has Kevin Spacey in it, a few other actors that I don't remember their name necessarily, but you know, you'll recognize them from some other movies and things that you've watched. I don't know, if you're just in the mood for a good drama, give it a check. Margin Call. I don't know, have you seen it?
Haven't heard about it. Haven't seen it. Is Kevin Spacey the guy that like went crazy for, you know, whatever reason? Or is that, am I thinking of somebody else?
I think Kevin Spacey is the one that was like accused of something with like young boys or something. I don't know. Sounds bad, but I separate good actor, the art though. From, I separate the art from the artist and that sort of thing. So
that's big of you.
Yeah, I'm so good like that. But it's a good cast. It's got some other people in it. Kevin Spacey is just the only actor's name that I remember. But it definitely had some other people that you would recognize. From
is it similar from to The Big Short?
It's been a while since I've seen The Big Short. I mean, yes, it's the same like historical, you know, facts that it's all based on. But it's more of a, I'd say it's just more of like a drama. I mean, I think it said that it was kind of like a mystery thriller too. I mean, there's maybe like hints of that, but like, I don't know, since it's real life and you already know that like the market's crashing or, you know, crashed, then it's like not much mystery to it. But it, I think it's worth the watch if you're just in the mood for drama and, you know, you're like me and you scroll through Netflix for like an hour just to find something to put on and you fall asleep 15 minutes later. Sometimes it's easier to just go on in, find something right away, you know, have a recommendation, put it on, and that way you actually get to watch something before you fall asleep.
Gotcha. Okay. It doesn't look bad.
It's got some good reviews.
Yeah. Might have to throw it on the list. Who knows? But I'll go ahead and get started with my recommendation. It's going to be kind of similar to what I was talking about in segment one. But I'll push this point again. I'll probably push it a number of times in this podcast and even in other podcasts. But if you haven't tried skiing, go out, take a lesson, get your equipment, get your big coats, get your snow pants. Go out to Perfect North, go to Paoli Peaks, go to some resort that, you know, you've never been to and do it for the first time, kind of like me. But go out and try skiing, go try snowboarding, doing whatever. I had a buddy that I've, you know, convinced to go out a couple times now, and he's fallen in love with it as well. Shout out to Adam Wheeler. He's living up in New York right now. I don't know how many mountains are in New York, but maybe you can slide down Manhattan on your board or something. But he picked up skiing, loved it, switched to snowboarding. I think he's good with that too. But I'm a skier. Get out there, hit the mountain, get dressed, put all your stuff on, get out there. If you're worried about the cold, if you buy the right, you know, clothes, you're not going to be cold no matter the wind, no matter the temperature, whatever. So if you're worried about that, you know, don't be. Go out and get the right stuff. If you're worried about getting hurt, I say the biggest thing for you is to learn how to fall. I think people will get caught up in not wanting to fall, and that makes their falls kind of, you know, more dramatic than what they need to be. And then that might be where you actually get hurt. If you need to fall, if you're going too fast, if you think you're out of control, just have a controlled fall. You're not going to get hurt. Do a baseball slide, whatever. Go on your butt on your board. You'll be fine. You'll live to go down another slope. But other than that, I mean, it's a thing that you've, it's a feeling you haven't really experienced before. It's also kind of a skill that you can't really relate to. You know, it's not like, you know, you can play this sport, so you're going to have some athleticism to go into this sport and know what you're doing and be good at that. It's a brand new skill set that, you know, you'll need to learn to do. And, you know, you kind of have that whole aspect of learning something new, keeping the mind engaged, keeping the body engaged. And it is a good way to work out and stay in shape, go to cool spots in the country. You know, you're going into these crazy mountains. You're seeing these cool mountain ranges, you know, crazy sights going down the mountain, and, you know, having kind of like that mental, like, I did it moment with, you know, going down a slope that you haven't gone down before and things like that. So if you haven't, you know, thought about skiing, thought about snowboarding, I know you've probably seen videos of people doing it and thinking, wow, that's cool. I wish I could do something like that, or I could go and, you know, experience that. Go out and do it. There's really nothing stopping you. It's fun. I recommend it. It has my recommendation for the week.
All right.
And, you know, T-Brock, I'm going to recommend it to you personally as well. I'm going to need you to get out there and go down the slopes, bring Emily, whatever. I need you to learn so I can have another buddy to go do stuff with.
Yeah, probably got to go to start at, like, Perfect North or something, don't I?
Yeah, you can do that. I'll teach you. I'll show you the ropes. You know, it's a cool hobby to have. It's fun. You know,
can you go skiing in Clearwater? Okay, that's interesting.
It's not like there's plane tickets, you know.
Yeah, but you can't go to Monaco. Anyway.
And that leaves us with the most anticipated part of each episode. The fan favorite, famous Tyler's quote of the week. How are you going to end us today, Tyler?
I got to say, March Madness inspired quote from the late coach Jim Valvano.
R.I.P. Said,
R.I.P. He said, don't give up. Don't ever give up. So, you know, when you're feeling down, don't give up. Don't ever give up. When your bracket's getting busted, don't give up. Don't ever give up. You know, it's just how it is.
Thanks. Shout out Jimmy V.
Jimmy V. The Jimmy V Classic.